everyone. This is DJ Sugar here on Sweet Juicy Talk. I hope everyone is having a good day, a good Thursday. It's almost Friday, and then the weekend, I'm guessing it's probably going to be full of Halloween parties and whatnot, since Halloween is just around the corner. It's on Wednesday, so everyone is probably rushing to get their costumes done, and that's exciting. I was thinking, because I think I'll be going to a party, Halloween party, and I still don't know what I want to be. I was thinking it was either between being a jungle girl or just a superhero to match with one of my friends. Either be like Captain America or Thor, either one of those. I just feel like being a superhero would be a lot easier than being a jungle girl, just because I feel like you have to make the costume and you have to like go to the fabric store and like buy leaves and, you know, put it all together and whatnot. It just takes a lot of work. So I don't know. We shall see though. But if not, I'm definitely going to have fun this weekend, and I hope everyone else has fun. Do something fun. It's been a long week and your hard work should pay off. So, I have a good show for you today. I have the usual celebrity gossip. I have something about Taylor Swift and Jessica Biel's, she got married. She has an article about her wedding accessories. And I have beauty tips from the first ladies, like some of their routines they used to do. And then for food, I have 20 facts that are really like disturbing, but it's something that you should know about. and then I have relationships. So how do you know if a guy likes you? What women really want as like gift wise. And so we shall begin. So the first celebrity gossip I have is Emma Watson. And if you don't know who Emma Watson is, she is the famous wizard. I don't even know how you say wizard. Or witch. Witch. That's like female. In Harry Potter, she played in all the movies, and she was definitely like a favorite of mine. And she's a really good actress. But I found this article from OMG, from Yahoo, saying that she will be going back to school at Brown University. So if you don't already know, she attended Brown University in 2009, but she had to hold it off because she had to focus on the last Harry Potter and other movies as well. But she is returning again in the fall again. So 2013. And when she left Brown, she assured her fans that she planned to return to Providence. And she quotes, "As you know, I love Brown and I love studying pretty much more than anything. But recently I've had so much to juggle that being a student and fulfilling my other commitments has become little impossible." And yeah. And it's weird because like she was even like she likes to study and like learn in real life. And then in Harry Potter, you know, she was like the bookworm and the really smart one, too. And then we also heard that she apparently got bullied when she was in Brown. And she says, it made me so sad when all this stuff came out that I left Brown because I was being bullied. It made no sense at all. Brown has been the opposite. I've never even been asked for an autograph on campus. I threw a party for nearly 100 students and not a single person put a photo on Facebook. Anyway, even if I was being given a hard time, I wasn't going to wuss out of university because someone said Wingardium Leviosa to me in a quarter or 10 points for Gryffindor. And I'm pretty sure, like, she can handle a lot more. Just, I mean, other stuff has been worse. Like, you know, the media just always, you know, trashing her or whatever. And, you know, students just saying all these, like, these Harry Potter lines, you know. It's not that big of a deal. But, and she also attended Oxford. Or she spent a semester abroad at Oxford, like, in fall 2011. I guess when she started, like, working again for the Harry Potter movies, and that's where she met her boyfriend. So she'll be attending Brown University again, and I think that's really good. Like, you don't see a lot of actors and actresses going back to school or, like, even starting school, you know, just to get their degree, because education is definitely important, and it's definitely something good to have and to show. It's just weird, like, it doesn't say, like, what her major is, but I'm pretty sure, like, it's a good major, and I'm proud of her. I mean, that's good. I mean, I feel like other actresses and actors should, you know, follow her example and, you know, at least get a degree, go to college. A lot of actors and actresses have, but it's, like, the ones that we hear about, like, Lindsay Lohan and... or like Amanda Bynes, the girl that I've been talking about, like, every week. You know, they didn't go back to school and get their college degree. So that's good for Emma Watson. And the next story I have is Jessica Biel's sentimental wedding day accessory. So this article could be found in a People magazine, and it's basically like photos of Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake, you know, photo shoot. It's definitely cute though. I think they make a cute couple. So they got married in southern Italy on October 19th, so last week, and she selected a very sentimental quote, something old. And so she wore a pink Giambattista Valley Hot Couture gown. I think it looks good. You just have to grab the People magazine. I like the color of it. It's not too, like, bright, and it's not too, like, light. I mean, it's just right, actually. So I like it. So she had one of, like, those sentimental accessories she had was a custom veil that had a special significance to the actress. The floor-length accessory, which was also made by Valley, was adorned with heirloom pearls that came from her grandmother's wedding day tiara. And so, like many brides, Biel incorporated several sentimental items into her wedding look, and another was her, quote, something borrowed, which is a light pink pearl bracelet loaned to her by Justin Timberlake's mother, Lynn Harless. She wore it paired with another bracelet on her right wrist. And then Justin Timberlake says about, like, her whole look. He said, it was so Jess. It was timeless, but it had its own eccentricities. She was the most beautiful thing I have seen. So that's definitely cute, and I think they will last, because I know, like, I think they've been both dating for a while, but then before that they've been dating other people. But I think they're a good couple and they're good for each other. Like, they're both, you know, goofy and funny. So So if you're just tuning in, I am on my celebrity gossip. I love celebrity gossip, actually, by the way. I read it every day. Sometimes people think like, oh, it's pointless, whatever. And I do think, like, you know, it is something that we shouldn't prioritize about. But it's just entertaining and it's just, you know, funny to hear stuff about celebrities because, you know, we like put them on a pedestal when, you know, we really shouldn't be. But it's whatever. It's just our society. So I just finished up talking about Jessica Biel's wedding accessories and Emma Watson going back to Brown University. And so the next story is another wedding story. This is from Us Weekly. And Princess Madeline of Sweden is engaged to American Christopher O'Neill. Such an American name. So Sweden's Princess Madeline is engaged to her American boyfriend, New York financier Christopher O'Neill, the royal family announced on their website Thursday, October 25th, today. And so she says, quote, Chris proposed to me at the beginning of October. It was very romantic and intimate proposal. We are both extremely happy. And she is the youngest child of King Carl the 16th, Gustav, and Queen Sylvia. And Princess Madeline, this is her full name. Princess Madeline Therese Emil Josephine is fourth in line to the Swedish throne. She was previously engaged to lawyer Jonas Bergström in 2009. But called off the wedding when reports surfaced that her groom-to-be had cheated on her with a Norwegian handball player. That's odd, a handball player. All right. But after their breakup in 2010, the princess moved to New York. Sounds so like royal princess. Where she met the London-born O'Neill. He has dual British-American citizenship through mutual pals. Though Madeline claimed they were just friends at first, O'Neill, who is 38, said he felt something special with his new fiance right from the very outset. I have been sure all along that Madeline was the one I wanted to marry, he told the Royal Palace. That's cute. And he called her his soulmate, the royal beauty gush that her Bowen had won her over and opened up her heart again. She says, I appreciate Chris for his warmth and his humor, she said. He has a very big heart and he manages to make everyone in his presence feel good. Christopher is a very thoughtful and generous person. That's really cute. I'm glad, like, you know, she opened up again and, you know, have love back in her life. And they said their wedding will take place in Sweden sometime next summer. And the royal family says the princess is very happy and so are we. Christopher is a real dream son-in-law. That's cute. It sounds so much of like the Princess Diary. Well, not really. Not so much of the Princess Diary. But like, it's so royal. Like, sounds so fancy. It'd be great if I met a prince, but I don't know if that will ever happen. And so the next and last story is about Taylor Swift, and I have a surprise for you after I read this, or not read, talk about this article about Taylor Swift. So she split with Connor Kennedy. They were going out for quite some time after an intense couple of dating. They broke up. A close friend of the singer-songwriter confirms to Us Weekly. The friend says they quietly parted ways a while ago. It was just a distant thing. No hard feelings. They're fine. And so she was first spotted with a 6-time Grammy winner at the Kennedy family compound in high-end sport, Massachusetts, in July. Connor is a son of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the late Mary Kennedy. And so, yeah, they've been going out for a while. And so now it's been over a month since they've seen each other. With her promotion for her new album, Red, she has no time off until the end of the year. And so this has become my favorite song from her new album, Red. And it's a pretty good album. Like, I like a few songs, like the one I'm about to play right now. It's called 22.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes. It feels like a perfect night for breakfast at midnight to fall in love with strangers. Yeah, we're happy, free, confused, and lonely at the same time.
That's one of my favorite songs from the album. I don't know, hopefully some people like it. And so that's the end of the celebrity gossip. And I have some beauty tips next from the first ladies. So don't go away. You're listening to DJ Sugar on Sweet Juicy Talk here on radio.dominican.edu.
Waking up in the morning and to be well. Quite honest with you, I ain't really sleep well. You ever feel like your train of thought's been derailed? That's when you press on, lean in. Half the population just waiting to see me fail. Yeah, right, you better off trying to freeze hell. Some of us do it for the females, and others do it for the retail. But I do it for the kids, life through the towel in on. Every time you fall, it's only making your chin strong. And I'll be in your corner like Mick, baby, till the end. And when you hear me strong from that big lady, until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home, what we gonna do, y'all? Louisville, nothing town. Textbook version of a kid going nowhere fast. And now I'm yelling, kiss my ass. It's gonna take a couple right hooks, a few left jabs, for you to recognize you really ain't got it bad. Until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home, what we gonna do, y'all?
Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. So I just wrapped up with all my celebrity gossip and my new favorite Taylor Swift song called 22. So now we're just heading into our seven beauty lessons from the first ladies. So being a first lady, like, it's just more than like being, you know, your a wife to you know, the president and whatnot, because they also do other things as well. You know, they promote or help, you know, campaign for, you know, what's that word? Like, what is it? What word am I looking for? Like things that they believe in. So like, for example, like Michelle Obama, she really emphasizes on, you know, staying healthy and staying fit. And so the first lesson is showing off your best feature. And we all know that, or I don't know if you've noticed, but Michelle Obama has good arms. They're pretty, like, you know, buff, and they're pretty toned. And so there was a controversy when she wore sleeveless dresses to her husband's first congressional address and in her official White House photo back in 2009. But you think, like, you know, why shouldn't she show off her toned arms? Like, they look good, you know, like, you should be able to show off something that you're proud of, like a body feature that you're proud of. And so between 1997 and 2009, Obama had worked out approximately 1,872 times, according to her trainer, focusing on her arms for 9 minutes each time. And that's why she has arms like that. And so these days, she wakes up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. every day to work out before her kids wake up. She quotes, being a healthy woman isn't about getting on a scale or measuring your waistline, and we can't afford to think that way, she writes in Women's Health in 2012. Instead, we need to start focusing on what matters, on how we feel and how we feel about ourselves. And so there's this picture of her in her sleeveless dress. It's actually quite pretty. And she looks confident. You know, she's waving, you know, one of her hands is up, and you can tell, like, you know, her arms are really, like, you know, toned and buff. And you should be able to show off what you worked hard for. And I think she makes a really good point of, you know, being healthy isn't about a scale or measuring your waistline and, you know, see how skinny you can get. It's really about staying fit and how you feel about yourself. You know, if, you know, you don't, like, all women are built differently. Like, for example, like, I'm short, and so, I mean, and, like, I try to lose weight, but it just does not happen. But yet, like, I still go to the gym, but I just don't lose weight. Like, you know, I just, you know, maintain a certain weight, and that's how it's always been. So, but yet at the same time, you know, I do feel good about myself. So, you know, we should also change that mindset of, like, you know, numbers isn't everything. It's really about, like, how you feel. And the next lesson is being open to change. So on my screen right now, I have two pictures. One is a picture of Dwight D. Eisenhower's wife, Mammy, and Hillary Clinton. And so basically, they're, what the issue is like, so Eisenhower's wife, she said she watched, you know, I Love Lucy, and all her clothes and hats were, you know, cutting edge. You know, her hair was a certain way. She had first gotten short bangs in the 1920s during a high point in her marriage, and for sentimental reasons, she then kept them for decades. So decades. And but, like, she has kept it for such a long time. Like, she has kept the same hairstyle for so a long time that, you know, it gets so boring. Like, you want to be able to change it up and, you know, like, look different. And then there's a Hillary Clinton. It's, I don't like it at all. Like, I don't think it will ever be like, because basically she's wearing a puffy headband. Like, she has a short, like a bob cut haircut, and she's wearing a puffy headband, and it just does not look good. Like, it looks so juvenile. Like, it looks like a 7-year-old would have that haircut and would have that hairstyle. And it just, I don't know, it doesn't look good. So, I mean, you should be able to be open to change and, you know, switch up your hairstyle once in a while. And, like, it's scary sometimes. Like, for me, I had long hair, and I would never really cut it. Like, if I were to cut, I always told myself if I were to cut it, you know, I wouldn't cut it a lot. But I remember when did this happen? It happened last year, and my hair was probably, like, to the, like, it would reach the bottom of my back. And I was just like, I need a haircut. And I really didn't know, like, what type of haircut I wanted. So I just went to, like, a salon, and I ended up, like, cutting off pretty much, like, not all my hair, but, like, I got a bob cut in a way, and it was so different. And I gave my like hair to Locks of Love, but it was just so different and weird. But now my hair is growing back. It was just super short. Like, it went from super long to super short, where I could barely put it in a ponytail. Like, that's how bad it was. So you should be able to be open to change, because change can be good, and it is refreshing as well. And we are at the top of the hour, so I just have some quick news for you. It's an Ohio professor arrested on rape kidnapping charges. So authorities say a teenager who grabbed an attacker's cell phone led to the arrest of an Ohio college professor in connection with sex assaults against young men. The Springfield News Sun reports that 52-year-old Holland Max Adrian was arrested on rape and kidnapping charges. Adrian, who teaches French at Wittenberg University, pleaded not guilty Wednesday. Springfield police say Adrian has been connected to two rapes in the area, as well as the attack on a 17-year-old earlier this month. In that case, the teen pushed away his attacker and grabbed the assailant's bag and cell phone as he fled. And so the cell phone records identified Adrian as a suspect, and victims identified him in a photo lineup. So this is just not a good story. It's just, like, kind of disturbing, especially at that age. Like, really, let's just, I don't know. There's just some wrong things with people. And so if you're just tuning in, I am talking about 7 beauty lessons from the first ladies. There was one about, you know, showing off your features, like Miss Obama, you know, showing off her really nice toned arms. And the next is, you know, being open to change and not having the same hairstyle for like 50 years. So the next lesson is, have a signature color. So, I mean, Mammy Eisenhower's signature pink also had some haters, but it flattered her skin tone and made her feel good. So Eisenhower custom made baby pink inauguration dress shown, which is like, there's a picture of her dress. It's light pink. Eisenhower's custom made baby pink inauguration dress was embroidered with 2,000 rhinestones, and it brought down the ball. The shades was soon referred to as Mammy Pink. All of Eisenhower's favorite things were pink, from her hair dryer to a decorative fly swatter. And so, I mean, I think that's cute, like having a signature color. And I like pink too. Pink is cute. The next lesson is adopting a skincare routine. So, First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy quickly became an icon of style and beauty. And I don't know if you've seen pictures, but she definitely had style and she was very pretty. She had like that classic style. Like it was very simple, yet it was very like, you know, classy. And her, so basically she was seriously dedicated to her skincare routine. Kennedy was an early patient of Hungarian dermatologist Erno Lazzalo and used his famous mud soap to keep her complexion glowing. And it definitely worked because, you know, her skin looks good. The next lesson is rehearse your makeup. So in 1993, a makeup artist did Jacqueline Kennedy makeup for the American Ballet Theatre Spring Gala twice. Days before the event, he showed her the look he had in mind. And then in her later years, Kennedy shown here, there's a picture of her in a more, she's older now. In her later years, shown in the when she was in New York City in 1992, even auditioned looks while wearing a robe that was the same color as her test dress, just to make sure the makeup color suited it. That's above and beyond. But after looking at the perfect results, we'll never try a new look 10 minutes before a party ever again. So it's good to, you know, see what looks good and what doesn't. That's why you have to see what kind of makeup you would like. The next lesson is find a good hairstylist and stick with him. So Nancy Reagan had hairstylists, one in LA, one in Washington, D.C., and one in New York, but she clearly had a favorite. She invited LA stylist Julius Bengtsson to do her hair for her husband's inauguration, then brought him to Europe for Prince Charles' wedding and a European economic summit soon after. Bengtsson was just as loyal. He came to D.C. once a month to touch up Reagan's color and flew there on his own dime using money from his $12,000 a year consulting contract with Clarion. If you're going to your stylist, they'll be good to you too. So, I mean, that's good. I don't really have a hairstylist because I don't usually, you know, fix up my hair a lot, and I don't usually cut it a lot. But I think I'll definitely go back to like where I got my haircut, which was in the city. But I just don't color my hair, or I don't really do anything with it. So I don't, you know, have that routine of having a hairstylist. But if I had longer hair, I would have someone like fix up my hair for me. Cause I just don't know how to like do my hair sometimes. I really don't. And the last, lesson is be a trendsetter, not a follower. When Frances Folsom Cleveland, when she was 21 years old, and there's a picture of her in the mid-1800s where she's just covered and looked to the side, she married bachelor President Grover Cleveland, 49, in the White House in 1886. The young beauty's image was quickly stolen and used in various beauty, clothing, and even undergarment advertisements. However much she resisted her celebrity, Cleveland's unique hairstyle was copied across the country, and when she was over the bustle, it suddenly disappeared from popular fashion. She never followed the status quo and even scandalized Washington with sleeveless gowns long before Michelle Obama. Wow. Cleveland liked that they showed off her shoulders. And that's definitely good. Like, she definitely was very bold in wearing that sleeveless dress and just, you know, just being who she is and being a trendsetter, that's definitely a good thing. So if you're just tuning in, I just wrapped up talking about, you know, seven lessons from the first ladies, you know, just, you know, be a trendsetter, find a good hairstylist or stick with your hairstylist, show off your good features, you know, rehearse your makeup routine and, you know, have a skin routine as well. And so when we come back, I will be talking about 20 scariest food facts. I probably won't do all 20. I'll probably do half. So, and then the half I would finish next week. So don't go away. You're listening to Sweet Juicy Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk with me, DJ Sugar, here on radio.dominican.edu. And so our next segment is about food. I don't know if I'm hungry right now. I'm not that hungry, to be surprisingly honest. I know. But I'll be hungry later just because I had a late lunch. I found this article from eatthis.com, and it's basically like 20 scariest food facts. And I'll read half of it. So I'll just read 10. And so the first one is, your food can legally contain maggots, rodent hair, and insect eggs. That's gross. That doesn't even sound like, that is, oh my God. So the FDA allows certain defects to slide by. Have a look at what your food can carry. So here's an example. So canned pineapple can pack up to 20% moldy fruit. Berries can harbor up to 4 larvae per 100 grams. Oregano can legally contain up to 1,250 insect fragments per 10 grams. Cinnamon can carry up to 1 milligram of animal excrement per pound. Ocean perch can harbor small numbers of copepods, parasites that create pus pockets. Oh my God, that is disgusting. I mean, the only thing that I feel like I think I eat on this list is like canned pineapple, but like I don't eat that often at all, unless my mom makes like fruit salad, but that's like on a rare occasion. And berries, I don't eat a lot, but I drink berry smoothies. Yeah, and cinnamon, I don't eat as much, but yeah, that's just very disturbing to like know, like, okay, I'm eating stuff that's not good for you. That's disgusting. The next is nutritious food costs 10 times as much as junk food. So University of Washington researchers calculated the cost discrepancy between healthy food and junk foods and found that 2,000 calories of junk food rings up at a measly $3.52 a day. Yet for 2,000 calories of nutritious grub, the researchers plunked down $36. To add insult to physical injury, out of every dollar you spend on food, only 19 cents goes toward the stuff you eat. The other 81% goes toward marketing, manufacturing, and packaging. Think about that the next time your grocery bill jumps into triple-digit dollars. That's definitely like good to know. Because it is true if you think about it, like a lot of the money that you spend for food just really goes out to advertising the product, which makes you buy it. Next is grocers don't have to tell you where your salad comes from. So fresh fruit and vegetables, supermarkets must tell you the country of origin. But with dried fruit and mixed produce, the law isn't so strict. That means a mixed bag of salad isn't required to disclose its location, and that can create problems if there are bacterial outbreak. News reports might warn you about E. coli, tainted spinach coming from a certain country, but if your spinach is packaged with other greens, you'll have no way of knowing if it's your bag. That's a huge problem considering leafy greens, top of the CDC's list of foods most commonly associated with foodborne illness. And that's true. Like, it's sometimes I have a fear of eating like salad or like and spinach. It's kind of just like I just feel like I might get sick. But yeah, but you have to eat your veggies. I think you should wash it before you eat it. The next is fruits and vegetables are losing their nutrients. And I would have to actually agree with that. According to the USDA, the fruits and vegetables we eat today may contain significantly fewer nutrients than those our grandparents ate. Researchers looked at 43 produce items and discovered drops in protein. Protein is 6%, calcium dropped 16%, iron dropped 15%, riboflavin dropped 38%, and vitamin C dropped 20%. Your move is eat more fruits and vegetables. I'm not quite sure like what the reason is. I think it's probably because of like how they grow it and maybe where they grow it as well. It's probably not as fresh as well, so it loses like, you know, the vitamins and the nutrients in them. So, and that's, I definitely have to actually eat more fruits and vegetables. It's just hard sometimes, but eating, because I'm very picky when it comes to vegetables, not so much of fruits, like I'll eat any fruit, but with vegetables I'm just so picky, like I don't like eating a lot of the vegetables, like cherry tomatoes or celery. I like broccoli, I like spinach, lettuce. It's just like vegetables have to be mixed in with something. Like I can't just eat it plain. That means I have to eat more stuff like that. The next scariest food fact is calorie counts on nutrition fact labels aren't accurate. Researchers at Tufts University recently analyzed 269 food items from 42 national sit-down and fast food restaurant chains, and they found that nearly 20% of samples contained 100 or more calories than reported by the restaurants. Think about it like this. If every meal you eat has 100 more calories than you need, you'll gain more than 30 pounds this year. And that's not cool. It should be accurate because, I mean, a lot of people, you know, do take that stuff seriously. So, next is chicken today contains 266% more fat than it did 40 years ago. And I love chicken. What's more, today's chicken also has 33% less protein. According to a study from this Institute of Brain Chemistry and Human Nutrition at London Metropolitan University, the problem is modern farming practices, cramped environments, and unnatural diets produce birds that have the same weight problems as the humans who eat them. That definitely makes sense. I wish I can just, you know, farm my own chicken and know what I'm eating, fatten my chicken up and stuff and give them vitamins. But I just don't have the space for it. And I don't have a farm. The next lesson is milk contains hormones that may cause cancer. Number one, I feel like everything causes cancer. Like that's what everyone says, you know, doing this and doing that can cause cancer. In 1970, a typical dairy cow could produce about 10,000 pounds of milk per year. Today, that same cow produces roughly 20,000 pounds. So did cows change? No. It's their feed that's different. Today's cows are routinely fed a hormone called recombinant bovine somatotropin, or RBST. And you actually can see that on the labels of the milk sometimes saying like, no, it's like hormone free or like no RBST. Problem is studies have linked RBST to a multiple of cancers, including those of the prostate, breast, and colon. And while milk from RBST treated cows is in America's supermarkets, some of the biggest players are getting wise. Stores like Whole Foods, Walmart, and Kroger only carry RBST-free dairy. And yeah, that's what I was talking about, because that's what my parents buy. The next is conventional supermarket peaches can be coated with as many as 9 different pesticides. So peaches are prone to bruising, blemishing, and insect takeover. They're routinely soaked in chemicals in the weeks before being shipped off to the supermarket. That's why the environmental working group rates peaches among the dirtiest conventional fruits in America. Also on that list, apples, celery, strawberries, and spinach. As a general rule, unless the produce has a thick, impermeable skin, assume it's soaked in pesticides. Now wash it with water and mild soap before you eat it. And that's what I've always been doing, like no matter what it is. I actually wash it before I just like bite into it, because you never know. Next is you're probably eating trans fat without knowing it. And I've actually learned this. It says sometimes it says zero trans fat, but if you read like the ingredients, there's like, I forgot what it's called, hydrogenated or something like that, is definitely trans fat. I think I learned this like in elementary school, so it definitely stuck to me. So slack FDA regulation allow food processors to claim zero trans fat even if the food contains 49 grams. To be clear, that's 0.49 grams per serving. That means by the time you finish it, say an entire bag of Cheetos, you might be ingesting nearly 5 grams of trans fat. Sure, the bag says 0 grams trans fat right on the front, but if you look at the ingredient statement, you'll see partially hydrogenated oil, the primary source of trans fat. I remember I learned this. I feel so smart. And the last for today is the number of daily calories available to each American has increased by 500 over the last 40 years. So USDA data shows that the food industry supplies 2,700 calories to every man, woman, and child in America. In 1970, the number was 2,200. That increase translated into 52 extra pounds of fat per person per year. That's not good. So I just wrapped up my scariest food facts. I'll finish the other 10 next week. And so I just wanted to move on to the whole relationship article segment, just because I think this one's pretty interesting. And I got this from Cosmopolitan. And so it's 10 gifts we wish men would give us. And I don't know, there's just some things I would probably have to disagree. But the first one is a personalized state necklace. And I don't know how I feel about this one. So basically, it's just custom order one of those delicate sterling silver necklaces cut in the shape of somewhere important to you, like your home, your home state, the place where you are and your guy met, or your wedding or honeymoon location, whatever it is. I think it would be cute, like, if you're in a long distance relationship. But I don't know, like, if a guy were to give it to me, like, if we live like close by or whatever. I mean, I feel like it's still cute, like it's a cute gift, but if it were a long distance relationship, like, you know, if you're across the country or in different, like, you know, across the world, then I guess you can, like, carve the country or state just to know, like, where he is. The next is an iPad clutch. So if you have an iPad and you use it all the time, you deserve a case. So I don't have an iPad. So if a guy were to give me an iPad clutch, I'd be like, thanks, I'm gonna return it, or like have him return it, because you don't have an iPad. But then again, the guy should know if you have an iPad or not. The next gift is some culinary breakfast and bed. So a weekend getaway at a cozy bed and breakfast in a charming little town is an awesome gift no matter what. But now there's a whole new breed of inns focused on food, with cooking classes, wine tastings, and massive feasts. And I think this is super cute. Like, I'm still waiting for a guy just to, you know, take me to a bed and breakfast, you know, in a really, you know, cute town, or you know, in Sausalito, because I know Sausalito has, like, some cute bed and breakfast over there. Or, like, one, like, by the beach or something. I think it'd be cute. The next is a retro bralette and a boy thong. I don't know how I feel about that. It's just basically, I don't know how, if the guy would figure out like what your size would be. I don't know. I'd just kind of be weirded out. I wouldn't really like that gift. Next is mix and match bangles. So I think that's cute. I think it's cute, like, when guys pick something out personal and something that they like or think that you might like, and you'd be like, oh, thanks. Like, I've had a few gifts, like, from my first boyfriend. He gave me a lot of gifts, like jewelry, like, you know, earrings and necklaces. He even gave me a locket once. And it was funny because I wore the locket and I showered with it as well, like the first time he gave it to me, and the picture got blurry. I was just like, oh, I'm sorry. Because it was such a tiny locket too. Like, I don't know how he did it, but I actually still have it though. It's cute. Next is a Paris photography collection. I think it's all right. I mean, it would be nice if it was like things that, you know, that you like in a collection. I would like that. I wouldn't mind. Wall climbing gift pack. So that's definitely a fun like gift. I would definitely like enjoy that. Like if a guy surprised me like, oh, we're gonna go wall climbing or rock climbing, I'd be like, cool, I'm so down. Cause I like those type of dates and those like surprise gifts, like, you know, doing something active, like, you know, rock climbing or going to a jumpy house or just at least doing something, not just like, you know, laying around. The next is a lacy iPhone 5 case. I don't have an iPhone 5 case, so yeah. But girls definitely like, you know, those personalized cases, those cute cases. So, and the next is vintage estate earrings. I think that's cute, like when guys, you know, choose. As like I said, with the whole bracelets, you know, guys choose like what they like and they or think what, you know, you like. And the last is polka dot over the knee socks. I don't know. If a guy were to give me that, I'd be like, oh, that's, I would be like, that's cool. Like, I wouldn't, I would actually want a guy to buy me like high knee socks or socks in general. I think that's kind of cute and funny. So, we're at the end of Sweet Juicy Talk, but tune in next week. Because I'll have more celebrity gossip and I'll finish off those 10 scary food facts and more relationship, dating articles and beauty tips, fashion tips and whatnot. So tune in on Thursdays, 4:30 to 5:30 right here on radio.dominican.edu. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day.